greet you this morning. What's the name of Jesus? Blessing to be here at the house of God this morning. Titled the message today, Connected or Disconnected. Brother Norman in his prayer prayed or thanked God for the privilege of being a part of the family of God. And I was thinking of that of a family, you know, when you have the same mom, the same dad, you grow up as siblings in a home, you know, there's a connection there. And there was, in Paris here, there was two brothers that we used to refer to sometimes. We say, you know, there's two guys here, they have the same mom and the same dad, but they're not brothers. And, of course, that was their last name, was Knott, K-N-O-T-T. But when I think about that of, you know, sometimes there may be brothers or two men who have the same mom and the same dad, but they're not brothers in the real sense, as there's not that connection there because of maybe a feud or something, a disagreement between them, and they are not connected as such because of the unforgiveness and, you know, the thing that is between them, the things that they are holding the other one for. And as we think of connected or disconnected, you know, I like to look at it from a spiritual light of being connected or disconnected to God or from God. And we do know that, you know, when God created man, that was God's plan for man, is that man would be connected to him, that man would have a relationship with him. And, you know, in the Old Testament, thank you, brother, in the Old Testament and the Old Dispensation, they had the law of Moses, and they had a connection to God in a degree. But in the New Dispensation, with the new birth and the Holy Spirit of God, you know, we have that connection to God through the Holy Spirit. But we have an enemy that is doing his best to bring disconnection between us and God. I'd like to look at the definition of connect and disconnect. Connect means to join two or more things together, to join with or become joined to something else. And think about putting a puzzle together. You know, you find the pieces that were cut out and, you know, separated from each other, but I'm not sure how they cut puzzles, but, you know, they fit almost perfectly together, and that puzzle consists of a whole series of connections. And if you try to put a puzzle together incorrectly with the incorrect connection, you know, it messes the whole thing up. It all depends on the connection being correct. To disconnect means to sever the connection of or between, a break or interruption in an existing connection, to become detached or withdrawn. How many of you brethren, and maybe some of you sisters have seen them, probably haven't used them as app, have seen a little box somewhere that said service disconnect? You know, if you go down into the basement here and go into the little room there in the corner, there's a breaker box there, and at the top I think there's a main breaker, the service disconnect. And if somebody would go down and flip that, you know, these lights would all go off, because there would be a disconnection between the lines, the power lines outside through the transformer inside to the box to the lights right here. And that is what our enemy is working at, is trying to bring a disconnection between the power lines, spiritually, if you will, that we have with God through the Holy Spirit. He wants that disconnected so that our lights go out. That's what he's after. I'd like to look at Nehemiah chapter 8. Read the part here of the first eight verses. It says in verse 1, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. So we here see the gathering of these people together, and previously in verse 66 of the previous chapter says the whole congregation was 42,303. So that would be 42,360 people besides their servants yet, of whom there were 7,337. And then they had 245 singing men and singing women. So quite a large congregation, a group of people here. And they had made this pulpit of wood that Ezra was standing on so that he was up where the people could see him better. And he had the book of the law of Moses, and he was to read that to the people. And he had here standing beside him, he had these men that were standing there beside him. And we'll read a little later what I think their purpose was. It says in verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then these men that were standing there beside Ezra says they caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. I may have that wrong. It may not be the same people, but it was a group of men here that were causing the people to understand. I don't know where they actually interpreting. Was it a different language from what they could understand and they were interpreting this? I'm not sure, but it says they caused the people to understand the law. And it says, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So we see here the connection that was made from the book, if you will. And, you know, as Ezra was reading from the book, the connection was made from the words of this book to the minds of the people that was listening, that were hearing the words, so that they understood what the book was saying. And I think that should be our intent and our purpose today, you know, as we are here in the house of God, that the Spirit of God would be your interpreter and that he would speak to the needs of our hearts, that of our lives that we have as the Word of God is read and preached, that, you know, even though my message may not necessarily apply to you, but that there would be a connection between you and God, and that God would speak to you and reveal to you the areas of need in your life. You know, it could be some area of your life that is not in submission to God, or it could be, you know, a sin in your life, or it could be an area that you are struggling in and you know, maybe have a fear in something, and God can bring comfort. So that is a purpose, that there is a connection between you and God through the Holy Spirit, that God would reveal to you the need, or supply the need that you have, that God would bring spiritual food to your life today for his glory, to bring you into that perfect will of God, to bring you to that place where you can be filled with the Spirit of God and be used for his service and for his purpose. as I mentioned here, these guys here, you know, that were causing the people to understand, we have in the new dispensation, we have the Holy Spirit that brings about that that interpretation. And it says in Romans 8, verse 16, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know, when we are born again, we have experienced the new birth. The blood of Jesus is applied to our hearts, and God puts that part of himself within us. And then the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a part of that family of God, and there's a connection there. And it goes on just a few pages later in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says that the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. It says that they are foolishness unto him, because and that he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if you are sitting here this morning and the Word of God is being shared from the Bible here, then, you know, chances are you won't know, you won't understand, because you don't have that connection. You know, we must have the Spirit of God in order to understand the things of God. You know, without the new birth, without being born again, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not given, and the things of God don't make sense to the carnal man, to the man that is not born again, because he is in disconnection. You know, that switch, that breaker is flipped and there is no connection and the lights are out. You know, the Holy Spirit is our connection to God. And as Christians, as the people of God, it is so important that we love and cherish that connection, that we take care of that connection. You know, there are so many things that we can do and that we can rebel against God in so many ways that will hinder that connection. You know, and the Spirit of God will speak to us and will convict us of those things that we do. And if we turn our backs on God, you know, God is going to let us go at some point in time. We'll be cut off. We'll be completely disconnected. Now I'd like to look at another scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 where it talks about the opposite of what we read in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, there was a connection there. But in 2 Corinthians 3, the same book or the same law was being read, and there was not a connection. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13, and it says, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." So it is saying here that, you know, I don't know, is this referring to the Jews, to God's people, the Pharisees, that when the Old Testament was read, the veil stayed there. They couldn't understand it. But even unto this day, in verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, and there is no connection because of rebellion, because of refusing to accept it, that Jesus is the Messiah. And I believe we have many Jews today still who refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. And that veil remains on their heart. You know, when the Old Testament is read and it points to Christ, they refuse to accept it. They refuse to believe it because the veil is on their heart and that disconnect is there. And I think the same thing can apply to us today. We're sitting under the sound of the Word of God when there is sin in our life, when there is something in our life that we're not willing to do, to surrender and bring our lives in submission to God, when there's rebellion in our heart, there is a disconnect. You know, we have our pitchfork and we shovel it, we fork it over to our brother beside us instead of applying it to our own heart. But it says in verse 16, "Nevertheless, when it," referring to the heart, "shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." So when we come into repentance, into the acknowledging of our need before God, then the veil is done away and our eyes are open and we see that, yeah, it was me. It was my fault. The problem was in here. It wasn't my brother. It was here. And a connection is made. Then this, you know, there is forgiveness granted. There is grace and sin is purged. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it says in verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And it talks there of the liberty, the freedom that we have, the freedom to live, the freedom to bless those around us, the freedom to encourage those around us, the freedom to serve. There are so many liberties that we have in the Spirit of the Lord. And it talks about the work that God does, bringing change and bringing life into our lives, into our hearts. You know, there are so many ways that we can be connected or disconnected. We think about people living in an imaginary world, living in the world of fantasy, There's a disconnect with reality, with truth. Think about, you know, somebody that is drunk with alcohol or somebody that is high on drugs. And, you know, the things that appear to them and is surreal. It's not really the way it is. The way things look to them are not actually the way things are. You know, but I believe you don't have to be drunk or drugged in order to be living in that world of surreal, that world of imagination. You know, there are plenty of ways to let our imagination run and experience that world. And thinking of that in a spiritual sense, you know, are there ways that we are drunk or drugged spiritually? You know, we have this maybe rebellion or sin or something that we're not giving up in our hearts. And we see things through clouded eyes, with a clouded vision because of the things. You know, we're so blinded with the beam in our eye, and all we can see is a splinter in a brother's eye. Things aren't really the way they appear to us because there's a disconnect between us and God, and we don't see clearly. I'd like to look at Luke 18, the account of the Pharisee and the publican. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.'" So we see here that one was connected and one was disconnected. You know, the Pharisee probably would have been looked up to as from the church people as being connected to God, versus a publican would have been looked at as a person that was not connected, that was in a state of disconnect. But the opposite was actually true. The Pharisee was living in that surreal world, that drugged position, if you will, spiritually drugged, where he had all the right things doing and saying, but he was not connected to God. Versus the publican, he couldn't even lift as much as his eyes into heaven, but he just hit himself on his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that connection was made, you know, because of his repentance, because of his humility. You know, is it possible that when we do something long enough, we start believing it to be true? You know, I don't know what all was up with the Pharisees here, but, you know, from what Jesus said, they were merely doing the outward, but in their heart it was totally wrong, and it was opposite from what the outward said it was. And, you know, they were really after looking good to the people. They were in it for themselves, for their own good. You know, is it possible that God allowed them to believe that they were on the right road, that they were in his will, so he could use them to bring about his plan of salvation? I don't know how that all is. You know, our Sunday school lesson today, it says that the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And there was another verse in verse 9, "A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." You know, God uses people to bring about his purpose as he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And it says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that God is going to send strong delusion. I'd like to turn to that just briefly. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 10 through 12. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So the people who reject the truth, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, in the Pharisees' day, Jesus, being truth, they rejected. You know, in our day, Jesus is truth. When we reject truth, saying here that God will cause, and for this cause, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, I'm not sure, is that what happened with the Pharisees? You know, is that what happens to us when we reject truth? When we love darkness rather than light? Because our deeds are evil, that God sends us strong delusion, God allows us to believe a falsehood because we're rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, as it's saying here, there's a disconnect between God and these people. You know, if they were connected to God, then they would love the truth. They would love dark. They would love light rather than darkness. But being there was not that connection between God, then God sends them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You know, sometimes you could probably think back in your life where there was a person that you met and there were, you know, for the first time, and there was that immediate connection. You had a lot of things in common. You just kind of like hit it off. I think you can all identify with that. You have a lot in common. You understand each other. But usually such a relationship is not about you. It's about the other person. And, you know, that is where you have that connection. You know, when we get so focused on ourselves, we focus inward and how we feel and our hurts and our wrongs, it causes a disconnection between us and other people. You know, we can't expect to go through life with living a life of self-pity, living the pity party life, and have a lot of friends. The Bible says that a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, if you want to have a connection, first of all, with God and also with those around you, then we must accept the fact that life is not fair. You know, we have to take that self-pity to God through Jesus Christ and be delivered from that self-pity and realize that, you know, life is not fair at times. You know, and quit demanding my rights. You know, I was hurt by so-and-so. You know, that's not fair. And, you know, that self-pity just goes on and on. You know, if you want friends, you need to be the one to be doing the connecting, to forget yourself and to reach out. You can't expect to have friends and, you know, to keep your friends if you're living in self-pity. If everything's about you, about what you feel, about what happened to you, the connection of friendship goes both ways, a caring and a sharing with each other. The last part of that verse in Proverbs 18:24 says, "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And I believe that's talking about Jesus Christ. You know, so like I said, when you have that self-pity, when you feel hurt, when you feel wrong, take that and talk to the Lord about that. Be open to His truth and let Him show to you, you know, what His will is. Let Him bring that connection. In the devotional this morning, Brother Elmer talked about love, mercy, and truth, or, you know, hate, strife, and lies, out of Philippians 4, verse 8. You know, when we are connected to God through His Spirit, we will see the good in others. You know, it is the voice of the Spirit that helps us to see the good in our brother. It is the voice of the enemy, of Satan, when we're connected with that. That is what causes us to see that hate and the strife and the lies, the negatives in our brother. So, My desire for each of us is that we can be connected to God through His Spirit and be disconnected from the voice of Satan. You know, that's where the switch should be flipped, and there should be a disconnection from the voice of the enemy, of Satan. And then as we're connected to God through the Holy Spirit, we can have a connection with each other as brothers and sisters. We have that common ground, that common union in Jesus Christ. We have that connection through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the love of Jesus is what draws us together, and it really gives us that connection with each other. I thought I would, with the voting we have in mind and the cold I have, I would cut this message a little short. So this time, let's kneel for a word of prayer.